Yeah, we like to talk up rugby. Yes, the Waratahs like to talk themselves up a bit. They're traditionally, arguably, the strongest province in Australia. Unfortunately, last year it was 16th of 18. Very disappointing season. So there's pressure all round, including, I guess, pressure on the CEO. That's Andrew Hoare. He's been good enough to join us on the line. G'day, Andrew.
G'day, boys. How are you? Good to hear from you.
Yeah. As I said, you know, we generally hear a lot from the Waratahs at this time of year talking up their season. It hasn't been so much this year. Has that been a deliberate thing?
Yeah, I just don't think that after the season go out and have, there's enough to work on internally, and people want to see performances on the pitch, don't they? So you can talk it up as much as you like, but the fact of the matter is, I think there's, you know, been 14 new faces hit the squad and new coaching staff, new backroom staff, and it was just the time to get on with it and not get on with it and talk about it.
Andrew, as a CEO, no doubt you did the big season review looking for the chinks or what actually went wrong. What came out of the season review from your point of view, and what did you want to implement this season that didn't happen last season?
Yeah, I think there was a number of things. There was obviously you don't have a season like that without there being some issues. So sure. Leadership was identified as a real issue that we needed to work on, people standing up and taking some responsibility and accountability, and how we kept people to account on that. The fitness was obviously a real issue, and I think there's been a lot made of, you know, a couple of players in the weekend, Navora and whatnot, with regard to losing on 12 kgs of weight. So that was a real issue. So there's been changes there. And then there was obviously issues in and around our forward play and defence. So changes we made there is Daryl's gone into the defensive role, and his signs so far are really, really good. Simon Cron, Mike Cron's nephew, the All Black forwards coach, has come into the forwards coach role. He's obviously had some success with North, and I think he's just simplified things and made things a little bit easier, and boys seem to be responding to that.
Mm. 4 wins in 2017. How long does Daryl Gibson get, Andrew?
Oh, I think you've got to be careful. I mean, I was part of a review in 2007 of the All Black coaches, and everyone was calling for their heads then, and then they go on and win 2 World Cups. So you've got to look at not only the outcome, which is the win and loss, but you've also got to look at our performances improving as well. Because sometimes we forget that, you know, Daryl's left in 2016 with no backroom staff and 24 players that he were uncontracted. So, I think he would admit that as a young coach going from an assistant role to a head coach role, he made some mistakes. But he's got the right character, and it's just adapting to that head coach role, I think, just took a bit of time. And he's under no illusion, though, that improvements need to be made, and he's been very honest about that in the press, which is, you talked about honesty before, it's very well to say Steve Fisher should come out and say that he deserved it, but I think Daryl's come out and said, yeah, you know, understands that he needs to get performances and results.
Well, if you can cope with triplets at home, mate, you're probably happy to get to rugby training, I reckon.
Oh, you're skipping out the door, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. But you, mate, you're competing now for space and marketing and support in the toughest sporting market on the planet, I reckon. As far as competition's concerned, winning is just essential. Do you think they get it? You know, do you think the players get it? This thirst for success.
Yeah, I think so. I think they're bloody hungry for it too. There's almost a frustration because they want it that badly, but it's the how, isn't it? It's well, what have we got to do?
Yeah.
And the guys like Bernard Foley and the Michael Hoops of this world, they're just kids that have come out of club footy and out of New South Wales, you know. And 26% of our squad come from rural areas, and it's not like they're an arrogant bunch that just walk around thinking that they've made it because they've been in the Waratahs. And they understand the history of the 144 years of it. So I think there was just a built-up frustration there. I think that overflowed last year. I think you saw Michael on the pitch a couple of times just so, like, where do we go from here? So there hasn't been a desire not to sit down and say, right, we've got to start and we've got to get this back ship shape. And I think you've seen some AFL sides recently who have hit rock bottom. And it's like the sport as a whole. the sport's actually been quite refreshing. People may say, gee, it's been a hell of a year. It was a hell of a year. And it was interesting, you know, being here 18 months and walking into sort of that. But it's actually worked out. It's going to be a lot. We're going to be a better sport for it because we've learned what the important things are around our people and getting a product right that people want to actually engage with.
Yeah, product's one thing. Participation is another one, Andrew. And now that the Waratahs and New South Wales Rugby Union are combined together in the single administration, we've got an SMS coming here from a listener saying, look, we've just got another levy put on us by New South Wales to top up their coffers. Mm-hmm. Is that true? Are you making it harder for kids to play rugby union?
Well, it's not intentional. So the Waratahs put in about $1.16 million a year, the community game. The fact of the matter is, and this is where that disconnect really had an issue with us, an issue for the sport, because you're not getting that support.
Yeah.
The ability to be able to generate the income that needs to go into the community game isn't there. So everybody last year, we said, well, now we'll hold a game. Everybody's going to have to contribute to the shortfall. So the Waratahs had a reduction in their budget. We moved, and it wasn't just, we moved out of Moore Park because of financial. People say that, but there was about four or five reasons. But, you know, so there was an administrative reduction in costs, and then there was, we're the only state that hadn't had put a levy on, and unfortunately we had to put the $12 on. And that's not what we want. We've said we'll review it in July. So as opposed to other states are saying it's here forever and a day, it's not. We are happy to review it in July and have a look at that. And out of that too, there's been a couple initiatives that hopefully we can grow the game. So we've put somebody on in the public relations space to hopefully help clubs generate the income they need, and also put on James Godfrey, who's an ex-Waratah, to run the Positive Rugby Foundation to generate money that'll just go into the community game. So there's a whole picture to it. We can't just be sitting there cutting and shrinking our way out of the, you know, the sporting realm. We've got to do something that starts to grow us. And again, you can sit there and make up all the stories in the world, but the fact of the matter is that's the facts, and we've got to grow ourselves again.
6:45 this Thursday at Brookvale Oval. It's going to be the Waratahs up against the Rebels. The Rebels are supposed to be the big improvers with all the Western Force players coming over, many of the Western Force players coming over. That's going to be this Thursday at Brookvale Oval. One of the benefits, if you're a New South Wales Waratahs season member, is that's free entry to the game on Thursday. So we urge everyone to get out there and support them. But Andrew, just one final one from me. I can't understand how you have a staggered start to the season. Like, the Super Rugby kicks off South Africa this week.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you guys are in limbo for another week.
Yeah, look, there's a couple of things there. The other thing is, too, just to remind everyone that part of what we've done, too, and around engaging with the community is there's 20,000 young people play the game in New South Wales. And if they're registered with a club, they'll get a card and they get free access to that game as well. So make sure they use that. On the disconnect at the start of the season, I just think that that's a classic example of the governance structure that we need to change in the game. So the National Union of South Africa want to give the team another week off before the international window. And that's one of the major issues, I think, moving forward is, you know, if you look at Rugby League AFL, they have a vibrant club competition in the first instance. And, obviously in Rugby League they have an international game, not so much in AFL. But so we've got to get that balance right and protect the competition. So there's some discussions to be had there. But it's not the be-all end-all. I don't think people will realise that. And then we're into it next week against the Stormers here at home, which... And as you quite rightly said, we just got to get on and get performing and get winning. And these things fall by the wayside, don't they?
Absolutely. Yeah. Winning fixes everything.
Andrew, what about between you, Daryl and Raylene, all the Kiwis taking over Australian rugby?
Oh, I knew you'd raise that. There's still a few. Look, our job ultimately, and I said the same thing when I went to Wales, there for 14 years, and I'd like to think I left that in a better state, is to actually get the game up and vibrant so you can have Aussie voices here in these roles. So, there's Look, you've always taken our refugee boats across from the Tasman, so we were able to jump in one. Mm. So,
gee, the quality of imports going up.
Yeah, well, it's only one-way traffic too. That's the problem. Andrew, we thank you so much.
No worries.